Ricky Ross from Deacon Blue here now. And Deacon Blue fans all over the world are tuned in, listening live online through realradiofm.com, because Ricky very kindly put a link to our website on rickyross.com and also deaconblue.com. And you can see Deacon Blue playing live in Glasgow at the SECC. This is on the 19th of February, raising money for the victims of the Asian tsunami. It's a sellout already, sold out very quickly, just took a couple of days. And Ricky here now. Now, Ricky, you're playing live at the, in Glasgow, Celtic Connections last weekend, also a new solo album coming out this year. Tell us, first of all, how you ended up getting involved in the tsunami concert.
Well, we're asked, you know, if you're asked to do something, it's always nice to do. And I think, to be honest, there's a lot of people, in fact, there's a rogue guy going around in Glasgow actually putting our name, my name, to a gig he was organising. And it's very embarrassing when these things happen. People just phone up papers, and everyone was so anxious to do something that anyone who popped their head above the parapet and said, "Oh, I'm organising a gig," and it was printed in the paper. And then, of course, no one had asked any of the artists. And so you get all that kind of thing going on. But with this gig, it was really the promoters that we normally work with were all involved in it, and it was a bona fide thing where the money really was going to be going to the right place. And it's unusual to get a situation where so many people are able to do it. The first date that they came up with, I was away and I didn't think we were going to be able to do it. And my manager was suggesting that it as a solo thing, and I just thought it's daft. I think we should do it as Deacon Blue, because I think that, to be honest, it's not my favourite venue in the world, I've got to tell you that. It's good that it's there because it's a big venue, so it's a bit of a clangy kind of place, and you don't, I mean, it's not really the kind of place you want to go and play acoustic guitar, acoustic piano at. So I thought, well, may as well go in with the band, and everyone was free, which is great.
Why do you feel the need to respond to the tsunami disaster in this way, and what do you think it can achieve?
Well, it's just bigger kind of thing than people are used to. I mean, obviously there are terrible things going on all the time in the world, but I think that when something like this happens, there's so many repercussions, so many people's lives affected, so much reorganisation to be done and so much rebuilding to be done, that I can't imagine how they will actually do it all. And I think that there definitely needs to be, you know, large chunks of money put away in it. I mean, it really is about raising lots and lots of money.
There's a lot of other bands appearing at the concert alongside Deacon Blue, Franz Ferdinand, Texas, Travis. Some of them have been around as long as you guys, and some of them haven't. What do you think of them? Are you enthusiastic about the scene just now in Scotland?
Yes, I'm very enthusiastic. A lot of good bands. I was listening to Franz Ferdinand. I was just thinking, what a great guitar riff that is going on. It'll take me out. I think it's great. That a lot of them I've met and that I know and like. Some I don't know so well. I don't know the Franz Ferdinand guys at all. I met the Travis guys and Texas, obviously, and Ed Reed. A lot of them I know. I think it's a really good time in Scottish music at the moment. It's possibly the best time it's been ever, really. I mean, I would imagine if you're a young band in Scotland, you're getting a lot of attention. I think there's lots of really good things to celebrate about Scotland at the moment.
Ricky Ross from Deacon Blue on The Real Business Hour. We're going to play a song from Deacon Blue's first album, Raintown. It's coming next on Real Radio. It's summer. 8:45 with Colin Kelly and Ricky Ross. Now, Ricky, we talk about politics a lot on this show, and Deacon Blue, well, I know that you obviously have political beliefs, but you were never a band that sort of rammed it down our throats. I mean, you do seem a bit quieter about it than some other bands.
Yes, I mean, I find it hard to be sort of party political, really, but there's always been things that we've been engaged with. I think in the life of the band, the thing that we probably got engaged with most was the struggle for the Scottish Parliament. I went through to Edinburgh with my kids just before the opening of the building, just a few months ago, and we hadn't been in the building, and we just wandered around the building, and it was a great sense of walking in that building, thinking, you know, we've been on marches and petitioning, and the actual physical result of this thing, it was an amazing thing. That was something that we were very involved in it.
You mentioned the Parliament. I mean, it's something that you campaigned for. You wanted it for a long time. Mm. Now that it's here, I mean, aside from the cost of the building and that side of things, what do you think the actual politics that come out of it? Is it all that you hope for?
I don't know, but I think it's very easy for people to slag off something that they don't know. I don't like people slagging off. I think there's a lot of good people there that are doing a lot of good hard work. I'm very excited about it. I think that it's almost impossible to assess the work they're doing, because what are you assessing it against? You know, you're assessing it against what, Westminster Plan. Does anyone have any sort of kind of idea what they did when they started? You know, it's almost impossible to try and do that in any logical way. I just feel quite excited about it because I think things will change. I've got to look 20 years down the line. They might not at the moment. There's a Labour government in London and there's a Labour executive in Scotland. Now, it won't always be that way. Maybe get more into things. Scotland might want one thing and the rest of the country might want another. And that's really why devolution is there. So,
do you think it should change? Would you prefer Labour not to have such a hold on Scotland?
I've always been quite open about it. I mean, I'm not... No secret about it. I just think an independent Scotland is a great idea. Now, there's three parties in there that believe that.
I mean, there's a lot of people who support an independent Scotland who did not support the Scottish Parliament.
The argument I always give is for this. People don't go backwards on these things, on democracies. I got to Dublin back and forward and having a conversation about something with a taxi driver in Ireland. I said, you know, tell me this. You know, much as you're cynical about whoever Bertie Ahern, would you want to go back into the British state? None of them ever would. No one ever wants to go backwards. So I think, and that's what people always, that's what establishment knows and fears, is that once you loosen the authority of that state and once you let people govern themselves and make their own decisions, of course they're never going to want to go back to someone else making these decisions for them. And that's what they're worried about. And that's why I think it's a good thing. Despite all its problems and all its errors, I still think it's a great thing. It's there. I'm very proud of it.
What about the politics inside the band? Deacon Blue never seemed to have like big bust-ups about songwriting credits and money and things like that. How did you manage to avoid these sorts of squabbles?
I don't know. I think that the two writers were really Jim and myself. And the way that we worked was Jim would write less than I would, certainly. And we would pretty well always put the songs that we wrote together, unless a lot of the stuff, things that we wrote together became the album. But Jim would literally write less than I would. A lot of bands fall out over songwriting splits. And one of the ways that I got around it at the time was I said, look, I don't really think we should ever be putting on song. I didn't say this to them, but in my head I said, I don't really want to put on songs on an album because someone's got to get their publishing sorted out. You know, someone needs to get two songs in the album because their publishing deal expects it or whatever. Therefore, I just split all the royalties up until I was in the band with the band, so that
that's just incredibly generous thing to do. There can't be many people do that, though.
It's not as uncommon as you would think. That way, you don't get, oh well, I wrote 2% of this. Didn't I have a quote? You know, I just said, look, let's just, you know, let's do it this way. So that's kind of the way that got around that issue, and it meant that you didn't have this sort of slight pettiness going on. And I know, I mean, I could name you bands now that fell out over it and who'd had quite good careers and didn't
But you must have, you personally must have missed out on hundreds of thousands of pounds.
Well, you don't really, because to be honest with you, you then make the good album, you then do the right thing, and it's that different. You've just got to, it's like, you know, it's like people kind of counting pennies, and it's what people are like, oh, I'm going to pay him 10% of this and pay that. If you get the thing right and you do it well, you wouldn't have to worry about that sort of thing.
And you did get it right because you had so many big hits throughout Scotland and the UK over the late 80s and the early 90s. And your final album, Before Deacon Blue Split, Whatever You Say, Say Nothing, was that something that you really hoped would take you further? Were you pinning your hopes on cracking America?
We did, really. We did very much. I mean, Paul Russell, who was chairman of Sony at the time, he was a great guy, Paul. He was very positive about the band and he used to say, these are big arguments, he'd say, you know, I'll get this band a number one album and do this and do that for them in this country, and then we'll have a meeting and all they'll say is, what's happening in America? You know, he's like, pull his hair out. Because it was very difficult. Sony is a huge label, and I guess it's even bigger now. It's with BMG and, you know, there's so many other amalgamations. So you have to work your way from the bottom of the pile to priority in this country and then in Europe. And to do that in America, it just takes either a bit of huge luck or, I don't know, something, you know. First album and last album had American success potential. The first one, Dignity, was actually a bigger radio hit in the States than it was here until it was re-released here. And then in the last album, Your Time, was a big dance hit in the States, all top 10. It was like really, it was all going, radio stations were adding, Ariana, didn't quite happen. And just, you know, circumstances beyond our control. We even had an American manager brought in, and bits of bad luck happened. He forced our manager to take an American partner. The American partner walked off with the money, didn't do anything. It was kind of, you know, a whole series of things that it wasn't going to happen. And the irony was, when we went over in 89 to do gigs, we'd had a fantastic reception, but it just, there wasn't the will there to support it.
So. Why was America so important to you? Is it at that point that you spoke earlier about you, other things happen, you kind of maybe enjoy the challenge of it, I suppose?
It's a very, very big market, and I mean, you could spend the rest of your life just touring America. I mean, it's so big, you can just go round and round again. So from that whole point of view, it just builds, from a career point of view, it's a fantastic thing. But it's less and less happens, and normally the people that it is happening to, or has happened to, are people over the last maybe 25 years who've gone out and really, really done it. And I guess U2 being the great example of the band who really wanted to do it. And that's why they are around, I think, probably because they've managed to do that.
Ricky Ross from Deacon Blue, thank you very much for coming in. Good luck for the gig. It's the Scottish, well, calling it the Scottish Live Aid, raising money for the victims of the Asian tsunami, the survivors of the Asian tsunami, really trying to rebuild all the villages over there. It's at the SECC, 19th of February. Deacon Blue, Franz Ferdinand, Texas, Travis, Bell and Sebastian. It's a complete sellout. It's going to be a great night. And remember, for all the latest Ricky Ross and Deacon Blue news, Ricky's got a new album coming out later this year, rickyross.com and deaconblue.com. You'll find it all there.